Our guest this hour is Senator Mark Schessler. Welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, great to be with you.
Now, you are a senator for the 9th District, and some people are like, hey, we're not 9th District. Why do you got this guy on? Well, you're 9th District. You're an avid hunter. You actually recently received an award from a hunting group. I know we have a lot of hunters here, and actually they go to your district, my understanding, to do some hunting and, you know, over on the mountains. And but you also sit on the Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee also. Is that correct?
That's right.
You know, you hear about the Environment, Energy, and Technology Committees and think those buzzwords today because of, you know, electric cars they're pushing on us and how gas is the enemy and blah, blah, blah. How are things from your perspective in this kind of situation that we're in?
Well, I think there's a real challenge for agriculture and timber to get the message out that we are the stewards of the environment. We have probably about the strictest forest practices code in the United States. And still, the Department of Natural Resources has cut the harvest by 50% from where it was when I began my career. Agriculture provides clean water, wildlife habitat, and oftentimes we don't get our proper recognition in those base industries.
What?
Their license plates, their driver's licenses, and any related permit or fee has skyrocketed upward. But when you go into the harbor area, where I do have friends, you're not going to see anything for your money. You're also going to see the cap and tax proposal that's going to fund an ill-fated transportation package will slowly start to get them at the pump, and their high-cost fuel standards take effect as well. And just recently, nonpartisan study said, okay, 12 to 39 cents just for the high-cost fuel standard. That alone, with no roads, should really irritate the average voter that listens to your show.
Well, you know, you hear people chime in that, you know, gas prices are high everywhere in the world, and it's not just one person's fault. It's the greedy corporate oil tycoon's fault. In your opinion, what is the problem?
The problem is, what industry would expand their refining, their drilling, distribution system when you're governed by Jay Inslee and Joe Biden, who are determined to put you out of business? You are not going to risk your shareholders' capital when they're out to destroy you. Now that supply is down for a variety of reasons, they're calling them nasty, greedy people. Well, that's just not so. I mean, their answer to shareholders, most of your listeners probably are shareholders, whether they know it or not, receiving those dividends. But at the end of the day, if someone says they're going to put you out of business, why do you expand?
Okay, you're on the Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee. It's all to save the environment, right?
Well, of course. I mean, I can't think of anybody that doesn't care about their environment. But if it becomes socialism in the name of the environment, it's not environmental protection, it's socialism.
Okay. So, what's the solution?
Well, you know, the solution is market-based. It's rewarding people for good practices. It is recognizing the stewardship we have. For example, Jay Inslee and a lot of his friends, like Senator Murray, think that taking out the lower Snake River dams will solve fish problems for orcas. But there is no green economy possible, no electric economy without those lower Snake River dams that provide very clean, affordable power for the Northwest and very clean, very efficient navigation for products, along with irrigation, tourism, and other benefits. So we have to recognize that. And rural Washington is providing the clean energy. How many of these giant bird blenders do you see in King County? How many solar farms are in Pierce or Snohomish counties? But you come to eastern Washington, you see all of them. And if they make sense, they're readily permitted. But that wasn't even enough for this administration.
Didn't we have like a clean power plan that was passed or pitched some years
ago? There was an initiative quite some time ago requiring green power. And the proponents lied to the public by saying, yeah, hydro is part of renewable power. And they breathed a sigh of relief because we have a lot of hydro in the Northwest. Except what they really meant was new hydro, which is very, very difficult to site a new dam or a new generator of any kind. Well, that was finally changed, but at the price of even more expensive electricity back to the consumer. During my time as majority leader and as a senator, the first question you ask yourself is, what does this do to the ratepayer? The small business owner, the middle class homeowner, what does it do to them? And if it hurts them, should we do it?
That's not nice.
Well, you know, if you think about it, if you go back to the market forces, long ago, Puget Sound Energy said, if you would like to buy 100% green power, it's going to cost you a little more. And if you want to do it, we'll charge you this rate for your electricity. If you felt so strongly, you could do it. And it didn't hurt low-income users. It didn't hurt small business. There's a lot of things we can do. If you like this, put all the solar panels on your roof you want. Put them on your garage. I don't care. But don't tell me to do it, because I've fixed too many roofs in my lifetime.
Well, you know, they're pushing electric cars, and, you know, gas is just coincidentally skyrocketed. But then if we remove our power generating dams, how are we going to power these electro cars that are being pushed on us?
Well, that is a great challenge that they really haven't thought about. First of all, the average home is not wired for a fast charger. And a lot of our older neighborhoods are not set up with enough capacity and transformers in the right places to do that. A case in point, last summer during the heat, Northeast Spokane experienced rolling blackouts so the grid wouldn't collapse. That's without thousands of electric vehicles plugged in the neighborhood. It's very, very challenging to do that. And you have to look at the net environmental gain or loss from what you do. What are we going to do with all of these batteries from electric cars? Do you want them buried in Grays Harbor County? Maybe not. Are they going to get recycled? Where does the mineral come from, and what's the carbon footprint of that? We have to look at the net gain from something, and, of course, freedom in the marketplace. If I drive to Olympia for the session and we hit closures, slowdowns on Snoqualmie Pass, I want to keep my heater going, and sometimes we have long waits on the pass. Might have a dead battery before I get over the summit and get down to Olympia. There's challenges, and it should be a choice.
Okay. It's 19 minutes after 9. We're talking with Senator Mark Schessler of the 9th District, and if you have any questions for him, you can email or text. It's johnny@jodesha.com. Can you tell me what, you know, one of the U.S. Supreme Court cases that was decided recently was West Virginia versus the EPA. Can you explain what that is and how it might affect us?
Well, first of all, in Washington, we'll see little, if any, impact, no matter how many rants and raves Jay Inslee has, because Washington has extraordinarily strict laws and taxes on these issues that the EPA was lost the ability to do. The important thing to remember is this. Our Constitution set up three branches of government. EPA was not one of them. If these are good public policies for the entire country, let's see Congress pass them. If individual states care more about these, they can go forward. This was really about the sanctity of three branches of government and the fact that EPA is not in our Constitution.
Huh. Now, okay, you talked about the three branches of government. Why does our governor still have these emergency powers?
I really think it's a power trip for him. He has power beyond belief compared to many governors, and he's not about to let go of it. And that's sad because we need a simple, basic policy for emergency powers. I don't think the people that voted for these upon its creation or modification, they thought about Mount St. Helens. They thought about Cascadia subduction. The original legislation goes way back to what if we had nuclear war? Of course, you know, you need something to govern. That's great. But I don't think it needs to go on for, well, we're getting close to 900 days now.
And it was supposed to be 2 weeks. It was supposed to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve.
Ask the average listener, do you think we're in a state of emergency? Well, maybe the state of emergency is gas prices that this governor doesn't want to do anything about.
Yeah, I noticed that he turned down any kind of tax relief.
And I think that's wrong. I mean, I put out a press release a week ago and simply said, okay, if the governor and his good friends Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer say a gas tax holiday is a bad idea, okay, let's look at other options. The simplest, quickest way would be a special session and reduce the sales tax by, say, 1%, state portion only. You dial it up on computers online. We've raised and lowered sales taxes many, many times in my life. And you help low-income people the most, small businesses, and our border communities. If you're living in Vancouver, your competition is Oregon with zero sales tax. If you're in my area, Clarkston, Pullman, Idaho has a much lower sales tax. So you make your border counties competitive, provide tax relief, and if we can't afford it next March, we can end it. Property taxes are too darn high, but sales tax is so simple and easy to change. Why not? And here's an example. I was looking at an industrial-size air compressor for my farming and ranching operation. I asked the salesman, what's the price? And he quoted me a price, and I said, well, is the sales tax based on your rate or mine? He had already plugged in the zip code 99169 and said, no, that is the Ritzville, Washington, Adams County sales tax. So it's just not that big a deal to administer, and it would give the public something back to pay for the Jay Inslee tax increases that are hitting in July.
Oh, boy. Yeah, and then apparently his office brings up a state income tax.
Well, and that is the ultimate fantasy. The voters have said no, Lord knows how many times, and create an income tax so you can give tax relief back and you're going to have a net gain. Now, if you want to buy that, I have a really nice bridge out on my farm I'll sell you.
It's 927. If you have any questions, you can email or text. It's johnny@jodesha.com. You know a lot about fish and wildlife, yes or no?
Had a fishing and hunting license as long as I can remember.
Now, what does the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, what do they do and what do they not do?
Well, they administer our fishing and hunting resource in this state of Washington. whether it's just for sportsmen or, for example, in some parts of the state, commercial fishing, commercial shellfish as well. The board has a specific makeup and statute. They hire a director independent of the governor, and they set the policies. And some are, you know, very routine about when the season starts and harvest rates. And some are very controversial and problematic.
Do you see any problems in that department?
You know, we have a director, I think, that grew up in your area. I think he's a good person. I think we have some good directors. We have some that are absolutely horrible. If you can imagine, the past chair of the commission admitted she had never hunted. She didn't remember she'd ever fished, but gee, this sounded interesting. We have at least two commissioners who fortunately have never been confirmed that are blatantly anti-hunting. So I think the ridiculousness of this nature, I worked with former Representative Brian Blake a lot. We shared a common interest in fishing and hunting. Sportsmen all over the state said, you know, he's a Democrat, he could get appointed by a Democrat governor, and he would be excellent. Former Representative Blake was passed over by his own party because he wasn't radical. That's just wrong, because we have an elk herd in my region, the Blue Mountains, that is crashing, primarily due to predators. And the predators could be controlled by increased bag limits, longer seasons, and this commission refuses to help them.
We have Senator Mark Schessler. He's from the 9th District. That's Eastern Washington, but avid hunter. You got a farm, you own tractors, and you know a lot of hunters in our area go to hunt in your area, and we're just having a discussion about just kind of current events. Now, you've said the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife consists of, you know, some non-hunters and anti-hunters, but if we had all hunters in the department, we would just wipe out all of our bear, all of our deer, our elk, because all these hunters would just open season all year long and wipe them all out, right?
No, because hunters are sportsmen, and hunters know you can only harvest a specific quota of deer, elk, or other species. It's the same thing with fish. We know that we can only catch a certain number of any salmon run and still maintain it. So sportsmen are not going to over-harvest the resource, and the commissioners are equipped with biologists and counts that give them enough science that that's not going to happen, because they don't want to lose the resource.
Touche. So, what could they be doing better at the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife?
Well, first of all, if you're going to have a balanced population, predator management is critical. We just had a kid mauled by a cougar up in Stevens County this year. We had that happen a number of years ago. There's simply too many cougars. They lose their fear of man, and you need to harvest more of them. That's not a radical idea. Wolves have decimated our elk herds in the Blue Mountains, deer and elk in northeast Washington, and been an incredible burden on our ranching community. Well, we have more than enough wolves. We need to maintain that number at a very low level that protects the species but allows for ranching and the hunting community to succeed. Not that long ago, the Blue Mountains of southeast Washington came alive with sportsmen from every corner of the state every fall. And little towns like Dayton, Pomeroy, Waitsburg had an infusion of sportsmen like yours that came to hunt elk. Now, it's a non-event. Hunting was part of their community. Hunting was part of the heritage. We are in danger of losing that, and we don't need to.
What about those, like, wolf sanctuaries? Are those a good idea?
you know, we need to let nature take its course, let manage that population. I don't think we need extinction of the species. They came back naturally, but we need to manage it at allowable levels. If it's your guard dog that is mauled, if you have no ranching opportunity, you have no hunting opportunity, if you love wolves so much in downtown Seattle, let's relocate a whole bunch of them to King County.
Are you saying that the people that are advocating for just leave the wolves alone are people that don't live with the wolves or around the wolves?
Those people that don't see the downside to it are not involved in hunting, ranching, or other livestock production, haven't had their pet disappear or bald. Look at it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, so wonderful, maybe you should share the fun and let's relocate a few packs to King County.
You know, we have cougars in our area. I've heard there's wolves in the Olympics, but that's just rumor. But, you know, not a day goes by that I don't see someone post on Facebook a trail cam of, you know, from their front yard or their, you know, doorbell camera of a cougar in their yard. So, you know, cougar maulings happen, right?
They do. They've happened over the years. They're pretty hard on pets. I mean, Washington residents seem to love their pets, dogs, cats, llamas, and they're hard on that population. So we need to manage that species, and we need that species to have a fear of man. A good friend of mine who once chaired the Fish and Wildlife Committee said, before the ban on bear baiting, hound hunting, and these things, used to be a barking dog told the cougar, get out of here. A barking dog after the ban said, dinner's on its way.
So, I'm going to add, I don't want you to take this personal, but I know a lot of people ask this about, you know, our politicians, and you know, you're one of our state politicians. How come it doesn't seem like anything can ever get done in Washington or in Olympia? What seems to be the problem?
Well, I think that politicians deserve a certain amount of criticism. I'm one, but at the point is, we've had one party rule in the executive branch for a long time, my entire career, most of my adult life. We haven't had a changing of the blood for a long time. That probably needs to happen because I've been in Olympia for 30 years between the House and the Senate. I'm watching the second generation of bureaucrats come on. And those bureaucrats, you know, tend to think a lot more like Jay Inslee than they do your local legislators.
You know, I was asking some people about this whole how to become a bureaucrat, because it seems like a gravy kind of position. They get paid all this, you know, and get to schmooze, and man, where do I sign up?
Well, I think that the public doesn't realize that if you're working for a Main Street business, you do not have the same health care, the same pension, and you probably don't make quite as much money. And so people ask, well, why does government cost so much? Well, there's the first hint that it's sort of like Margaret Thatcher once said, socialism works great until you run out of other people's money.
Okay. So how do we fix Washington?
Well, I think that's the point. Fix Washington. We need some real changes in the November election and again in 2024, because Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results. And you have to ask yourself that question, you know, is it going to change if the same people are doing the same things, protecting the same bureaucrats? Let's go back to the EPA issue. Bureaucrats, unelected, probably have far more power than your legislators. I've known every legislator in the harbor for my career, both sides of the aisle. Can remember them. Some are no longer with us, but I knew them all. The late LNI, Employment Security, DOE, pick an agency, can make those rules that are every bit as binding as a law, and they're not accountable. You know, if you ask your legislative delegation to do something about it, it's like, well, the agency made the rule, and the governor protects the agency, and they can do things that no legislators that I served with would have the nerve to do.
But we have a surplus of money. That's a good thing, right?
Well, it is, but too big of a surplus can actually be a curse. You can engage in reckless spending that sounds good at the time. If you reduce some of that surplus back to the average person, put a sunset on it if you need to, but do you trust your neighbors with $1 billion in surplus, or do you trust Jay Inslee and the bureaucrats?
I had a friend tell me that he moved up from California with his business, and it didn't take him long to realize that Washington wasn't a small business friendly state. What would you say to that?
I would have to agree. I mean, when you look at, we have amongst the most generous unemployment insurance benefits, LNI benefits, they're extremely generous and it costs money. And the 300-pound elephant in the room, the paid, not paid sick leave, but the Long-Term Care Act. We won't go into paid sick leave, but the Long-Term Care Act, yeah, it was suspended for a little while. But it is guaranteed to be more expensive when it kicks in because there was a few common sense changes made. There's still a lot of holes in that system. If you're the Washington resident with a household income of 80-some thousand, it's about a wash whether you should be in or not. If you get to an upper income household, about 180-some thousand dollars, you're a fool to buy it because you get the same benefit. I think every high wage earner I know said, before I'm going to pay this to the government, I'll go buy my own. But it is a lousy investment and needs to just become a voluntary program like the initiative legislature proposed.
You know, you mentioned upper income, but when you're upper income, you're the bad person that needs to pay their fair share, right?
Well, that's what some socialists would say, but what poor person ever gave you a job? It's only somebody that's successful that, you know, creates jobs, signs paychecks. That's the key to it. And why would you, you know, pay this tax if you're an upper income earner and get the same benefits as a lower middle income earner? So of course you're going to do that. That changes actuarials. The formula for the rates depends on a certain amount of wealthy people participating. Well, most people didn't get wealthy by being fools, and they don't stay that way being fools.
Senator Mark Schessler is from the 9th District over in Eastern Washington, but he hunts, he fishes, he knows Grace Harbor, and a lot of our area hunters, they go over to his neck of the woods to do, you know, some hunting and fishing, and he's on the Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee. You know, we've been having this electric vehicle stuff shoved on us. Gas prices just ironically sky high. It's Putin's fault. Why did you even get involved with this whole politics thing?
Well, you know, I was a big fan of Ronald Reagan. I was tired of the welfare state, tired of overspending, and one day when I was 35 years old, I didn't have a consultant, didn't have a spin doc. I sat down and I wrote down about 10 bullet points that I believed in. And one day I was cleaning out my drawers, and I found that list. And after many years of service, I think I had changed my mind on one spot. But I did it without the help of the fancy consultants or spin docs. This is what I believe. And I ran on it. You know, there was a few liberals that laughed when they saw it. Some people loved it, and some said, well, I like most of this, and I was elected.
So I got a text asking, why expand refining when EVs will dominate the transportation landscape?
Well, you know, they're not for everybody. So if you want an EV, we're a free country. We're pro-choice, I guess. Make your choice, make your decision, but not all of us are going to make that transition anytime soon. I look around my farm, there's no electric semis, no combines or tractors, and we live long distances. Let the market forces work.
What amazes me is people don't seem to be, kind of hate to say, paying attention. You know, losing Boeing, losing Funko, an expansion there, Amazon wanting to open a different headquarters elsewhere, you know, jeopardizing the apple crop with illegally sending apple maggot, you know, maggot infested apples across the state. Billions lost in COVID relief by scammers. And just people just don't seem to get it.
Well, I would say that over my career in politics, we went from a daily newspaper in most cities or regions that covered these things really well. They aren't there anymore. We had more talk radio communicating. And I regret the demise of both of those. I used to, you know, wasn't all that crazy about the Olympia Press Corps. I actually miss a lot of them now. We didn't have a show like this in Spokane anymore. We could use it. There's a lot about people eagerly read my newsletters because they don't get the news other places about what's happening to them.
So what can we do to for a solution? What are our solutions here? You've mentioned, you know, a changing of the guard. With our vote, is that the only thing we can do?
Well, that's always the best. You know, if you think about this thing, the reason we have a lot of the government we have is the voter turnout in Seattle and King County is at a higher percentage than suburban, semi-rural, rural areas of the state. So if you routinely run 70-some percent vote, and urban areas run in the 90% range, you put yourself at a disadvantage. And it's troubling that even some, you know, pretty conservative areas don't vote at the clip they should. And that is important because I believe my Democrats in the 9th Legislative District don't think like Seattle. They don't think like Port Townsend. So I would rather have a 9th District Democrat voting than letting Seattle decide. I certainly want the conservatives out voting, and we can't let people get discouraged. I'd like to see Grays Harbor vote at a higher rate than Seattle.
Yeah, you hear that a lot, that, you know, Seattle voters in Seattle kind of set our policy here in Grays Harbor. Have we made voting too easy? You know, you would think that, you know, being as powerful as they say our vote is and meaningful, that we would have to put a little effort into it to do our part.
Well, I would say if you don't put effort into it to actually cast the vote, you expect government to give you a free stamp because you won't take it to a drop box. You don't want to go to a polling place. Are you really going to make the effort to be informed about who's on the ballot, what the ballot measures mean? I believe that we need a poll voting option at the very least. I think that we need to carefully scrutinize how we do it, because people need to have confidence in the system. Even if you don't agree with me, you should support confidence, integrity in our system. And for gosh sakes, why can't we at least give counties the choice of having real polling places?
Did you see where Seattle and Tacoma were considered the worst run cities in the country?
Well, would you go out at night in either one of them?
No, not anymore.
You know, right now, Tacoma, Pierce County, is probably on a homicide rate worse than Chicago. And we laugh at Lori Lightfoot, we laugh at Chicago, how terrible they are. The mayor of Tacoma owns this, and they've made it way too easy. You know, Governor Inslee's released 3,000 to 5,000 inmates early and saying, trust me, they'll all be good people.
Wow. So we have a few more minutes left there, Senator. Anything else you want to tackle today?
Well, I think we need to be looking ahead at what government does to us. What do the mandates mean to us? What do the taxes mean to us? Whether, you know, the long-term care we talked about in the last segment, people need to really understand it's not what it was advertised. They have to really understand that taxes do hurt. They should be lower. We need to keep reminding our citizenry that when you get over $1.5 billion back, it's your money too. You should get something back.
Right. You know, we're taxed everywhere possible and then some, and you don't really see it returned. But there is a homeless industrial complex, though.
Well, there is a poverty industrial complex. If we cured homelessness as we know it, there'd be a whole lot of do-gooders out of work, and they don't want to be unemployed.
Where can I find more information about you, sir?
Well, it's all online. It's all public record. You can subscribe to my newsletter. Simply click on somewhere on the website. You know, we're an open society. You can look and see committees I'm on, bills I've passed, things I've said you agree or disagree with, and go from there.
And you're okay with people disagreeing with you, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you disagree, it's sort of like with this governor. If he doesn't want to do a gas tax reduction, let's find something else. You know, let's propose, if you disagree, let's look for something we can agree on. I can honestly say, you know, retiring Senator David Frock from Seattle, we are very different. But, you know, we disagree on guns. We disagree on socialized medicine. But we could find common ground in a capital budget for the state of Washington.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but the president proposed a gas tax cut. Wasn't it like 50 cents a gallon or something like that? But Governor Inslee didn't want to do that for fear of enriching the evil oil executives?
Yeah, that's what he said. And, you know, his best friends, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, agreed. It's okay. If he won't go there, let's talk about something else. You know, can we lower the sales tax temporarily? It's very easy to implement. Could we look at some of the extraordinarily high excise taxes? We have the third highest telecom tax in America. Who doesn't have a landline or a cell phone?
Right.
So let's talk about, if you don't agree on one, let's look at another tax cut.
Senator Mark Schessler, I appreciate you spending the hour with me. Will you come back in the future?
Absolutely. It's a great part of the state.